This is Camping Well Awesome. My name is Warren.
My name is Lane.
And this is Ali, and I'm admiring your really cool watch.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's worth about as much as the band on your watch.
What kind of watch is
it? Maybe less.
This is a Casio. No, it's much. I meant like one little
one
section.
A link.
That's what I meant.
Possibly.
It's a Casio?
Yeah.
I think it's rad.
It's a Casio, and it was about $20. So
nice, dude.
Is that one link of your watch?
I think that's one of the barrels of the pins. But not the official Omega pins.
My watch, I'm using quotes, collection would really bother you a lot.
No, I love your watches.
It's all
what
cheap.
Are you talking
it's
about?
All cheap stuff.
I love your watches. And what I'm wearing is not.
What is it? A Speedmaster or something?
It's a, let's see, 19. No. When did we do this?
$19,000.
19,000 million trillions.
This is not a watch podcast, by the way.
This is not a watch podcast. It's a like a 2010, 2012 era titanium Seamaster.
Okay.
Titanium Seamaster 300M.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's all titanium. They stopped making it in like 2008
this is Seamaster?
Or something. 300M Seamaster, thin. It just has date.
Yep.
Super lightweight.
The titanium's the key there.
Super durable, and the material is self-healing, so it always kind of looks just like brushed, worn titanium.
That's wear that? Is that your main watch?
That's the watch I wear. Either that or the G-Shock. The Casioc.
Yep.
Yeah, Casiocs are cool.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to get one of those.
They're cool.
Do you have like a really expensive, like a metal one?
No, I don't like I'm not a huge fan of the metal G-Shocks. I think they get a little bit too clunky and chunky. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about the G-Shock is that they're kind of big, and if they hit against something, you're just hitting up against the plastic or the rubber.
I only like the G-Shocks that are like square, the square series.
Oh yeah, those are rad.
Well, and the Casiocs look good too.
Yeah, so it gets
those are kind of square though too, right?
Octagon.
It's the octagon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a cool watch.
Yeah, one, the pin that holds your, the band, that's where I'm at.
Okay.
I'm down with your watch, though.
That's my budget. So this is Camping Well Awesome. And when you go camping, what watch do you wear? G-Shock.
Usually G-Shock or this Omega.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean...
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I like prepping a fire, and I like kind of
blowtorch optional.
Blowtorch necessary.
Yeah, of course.
So, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I thought we would do a quick podcast about things that we pack to go camping, and this is not backpacking or extreme, lightweight camping. This is car camping, but some essentials. And I realized when we were kind of thinking about this episode that I tend to gravitate towards the minimalist idea. I don't bring a lot of tchotchkes and stuff. Ali, on the other hand, at least in my experience, happens to have a little catalog of...
I go both ways. I go both ways.
Okay, well... You would be more into solar panels, inverters, stuff that requires gear, right?
I mean, it depends on what we're doing. I mean, so in general, the things that I like while I'm camping is I like to have good snacks and food and drinks.
Okay.
So that generally requires a cooler full of ice or a refrigerator or something like that. And that's about it.
Yep.
Always have to have a fire going, even if it's like 140 degrees out. For some reason, I got to have a fire going just in case the lions decide to invade the camp.
For sure. Primal. It's a primal thing. Yeah.
But music. I love having music at the campsite.
All right. Well, let's tackle this one by one. Let's start with the cooler. Now, coolers in the last 10 years have gotten quite fancy. It used to be an old igloo cooler. You'd buy it. Outdoor World for, I don't know, $30-$40 would last you a lifetime. Before that, it was the metal ones, right?
The Colemans.
But nowadays, with the invention of Yeti, they all of a sudden realize that we can make these expensive coolers and charge $300 for them, which is happening.
And by the way, they weigh like 80 pounds empty.
Totally. And
don't you have to pre-freeze them?
That helps a hell of a lot.
That's what they tell you.
It makes a big difference. I mean,
essentially, they... they maintain whatever temperature they start at very well. So if you have a hot cooler and you think you're going to put ice in it and cool it down, that is not true. It will take a long time, which I've learned from experience by being in Las Vegas and starting a long camping trip and then going to Trader Joe's and trying to put ice and food in there. And then like day two, it's all melted because the cooler started off warm. So, I have a fancy cooler, but I do not have a refrigerated cooler. I have a standard traditional cooler. It's a Grizzly, which is like a Yeti, competitor. Expensive, big, heavy cooler. Huge, son of a gun. But they do say it can hold, if it's cold and you start cold, it can hold ice cubes for 7 days. So that's their claim. And it's bear proof and it's super heavy duty and all that stuff. So where do you land on coolers?
Well, okay, so I've gone all the way in both directions, as you know.
Yeah.
So I do also have one of these like giant Yeti coolers with like a big handle. Looks like it should have a motor on it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Like if you take it out of your backyard where it's been sitting on the side of your house and then you just like fill it with food and ice, all that stuff's going to be melted the next day, like most other coolers, or in the next couple of days. But if you put it inside your house and get it cooler or in your garage where it's cool and maybe fill it with ice the day before, it makes a huge difference. But in general, I've always just kind of like wherever we're camping, we're usually not that far away from some store and they usually have ice. So even though I went, like I still have this giant Yeti sitting in my storage unit. I've kind of like pared back to like the best of the thin wall, like normal size, like Kelty makes a nice soft sided cooler. I've really been digging the, all of the new soft sided coolers from like,
they've done a really good job with those. They've
Hydro better. Flask and Yeti.
And they're not cheap. By the way,
they're not cheap, but we have, I mean, we like them so much.
What does this mean? Soft side.
It looks like a big beach bag, but it's an insulated zippered cooler.
Got you.
Yeah. And they have like a square. The Yeti brand has like this and Hydro Flask also, they have these like squared off versions of them.
Uh-huh.
And,
the nice thing about those is that if you are packing a car, they're much more modular.
They're like amazing.
You can smash them in, you know, rather than having like a solid cooler.
Yeah.
So like we have the small, medium size. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's the size of like two toasters next to each other.
Oh.
The soft-sided Yeti one. And that's the one we've probably used the most on road trips and all of that stuff. Yeah. We put it on the floor of the back seat in between the two kids. Then you put all your stuff on top of it. It fits in there nice and it's soft. So it's not like damaging the interior of your car.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're at now. If I'm doing like a longer camping trip.
You use the big Yeti and the soft coolers.
I rarely use the big Yeti.
I see.
So the big Yeti is like if we're going summertime and we know we're going to be out at a campsite for 2 or 3 days and we're not planning on going back to the store for anything and we're packing everything in, then I'll pull out the trailer hitch dolly thing, the trailer hitch platform, and I'll put the Yeti on that because by the time you put the Yeti in the back of it, SUV
a rack that goes on the back.
Yeah. I have a trailer hitch rack kind of a thing that goes on the back of the SUV.
Yeah.
And then I'll put the Yeti on top of that and then picnic chairs and all of that stuff
live on there. So we do, it's three coolers. This is for or 5 day trip, you know, a long trip and not close to a store. So assuming you might get one ice refill if someone's coming up late or going to the store.
Yep.
So the Yeti, or in my case,
so the Grizzly is definitely a needed thing.
Yeah. Grizzly is a block of ice and then all of our perishable stuff. So that's everything that needs to be cooled. Milk, cheese, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Meats, stuff like that. So that one's locked. We don't only open it when necessary. It's like cold.
How about a quick cooler packing tip?
Oh,
use your frozen meats when you're going camping. Use the things that you can freeze as kind of pseudo ice.
For sure. So the other move is getting 3/4 full 2 liters.
Exactly.
And using those as ice packs. And then you can drink the water too.
Perfect.
If you want down the road. But and then the other two coolers are smaller, really cheap, super inexpensive Coleman coolers, like, you know, $20, red with a white lid. I don't know, standard size, you know, shoulder width or whatever. And there's two of those. One is for drinks only. So that's regular cubed ice, like regular ice full of drinks. And then the other one is for dry goods, cereals, breads, all that stuff.
You put dry goods in a cooler?
We used to do bags, but it would get fucked up. It'd get
smashed.
It would get, so it keeps
we
it fresh.
The thin wall bins for that stuff. Like the
we
storage
used to
bins.
Too, but we had this, we were given this exact same cooler we already had and it works out great. You can step
on
them.
If it fits.
Yeah. Cause the thin wall things kind of break, right?
Like, they're just, they can definitely. Yeah,
and so then we put them out. Then we put all the two small coolers outside. And we have a van again. So when it's packed, it's like cooler. It's like an extra floor essentially. So I can like walk on it or
yeah, that makes sense.
Sit on them totally. And stuff. And then, in the daytime we put them all out on the picnic bench. So you have dry goods and the big cooler usually stays in the van because it's so heavy and like also it's valuable. So we don't really want it to walk away, but, I have a lock for the cooler as well.
Nice.
It does have a locking lid. And then I got like a longer padlock that I have a bike lock that can go around like a picnic.
Shout
bench.
Out to the lock picking lawyer on YouTube, by the way. Oh, pretty rad YouTube channel.
Okay. because that's where I'm at. Like it's an expensive cooler and you know, you leave the campsite all day and people are shady sometimes and that could just disappear. So that usually stays in the van.
Can I ask, have you ever had anything stolen from a camp? I'm super afraid of that all the time too.
Well, I heard a horror story from my friend Dan. He was down like, near Nacimiento. I think it was San Antonio. He was camping.
Yeah.
He went swimming and boating
that's
in the lake.
Crappy version of Nacimiento.
Yeah. 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 He went boating or at the beach or something, came back and someone had gone through their whole site, took his wallet, you know, took stuff.
Wow. That's from gnarly.
From his tent. And he was like super pissed. So, the other thing that I used to do as a kid was we would do little missions to get snacks and drinks and stuff from people's campsites like late at night. This was like rad. As like 12, 13 year olds.
Really?
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. We would go find like sodas and stuff in like a cooler. Yeah.
In a cooler, not like stuff. No, somebody like bad. A s'mores kit. Somebody left out on a picnic table. Oh, you like swipe like, it
between
you're
10 and
a hoodlum.
Little 10 and 12 year old. Yeah. Wham. There was some things going on.
Damn.
Checkered past. Huh?
Holy moly, dude. Camping criminal.
I think we might add some sparklers too, you know? Yeah. We were really after it.
Holy moly.
So I want to issue apology to anyone who I may have hurt. Back in 1992
mm-hmm.
or through
1990. Stole their Simply Sodas.
I was looking for Squeezits probably.
Zima. How many Zimas did you get when you were 12? Oh,
as many as I could find. But so no, I'm not really worried about it, but it is nice to just lock it up and then don't have to think about it. So
I do have to say in the last like 18 months, I recently got one of these powered coolers. So yes. Like a refrigerated cooler.
Is it Dometic or
so Dometic? Dometic makes one. ARB makes one. Yep. I got the one. Of course, I couldn't get like the one that you can just get on Amazon from Dometic, which has all the great reviews and all of this
you
stuff.
You had to get some weird German brand.
Isn't Dometic not that great of a brand?
Yeah. News flash. Dometic is just
garbage, right?
Really pretty looking crap.
Yeah.
So for the most part, a company called National Luna out of South Africa, the reason I found out about this was basically I found out that a bunch of the best kind of like outback or out overlanding gear comes out of either South Africa or Australia, especially for the Land Rover.
Yeah.
And so through this process, I was looking for a metal sided cooler because I wanted to put a powered cooler in the back of the Land Rover, this 1962 Land Rover Dormobile camper mm-hmm. that I have. And the Dometic one was plastic and so was the ARB one.
And it looked out of place, right?
It looked totally out of place. So I just did like a Google image search and I found this like metal sided one that has kind of like that old school, like stainless steel diamond impression on the surface or whatever, that textured impression. And I started doing research and I found out that this is it was commissioned by the World Health Organization to have like the lowest current draw and the most efficient insulation and all of this stuff. And it popped up on a bunch of these overlanding sites in Australia and South Africa for like the slide outs and stuff that you can buy. It said National Luna compliant. So So I found out more about it. It's like super low current draw, like 1.5 amps at 12 volts. And some of them have two zones, some of them have a single zone. And I got the one with the single zone that you can make a refrigerator or a freezer in it. Yeah, there's like a little lump in the bottom of the cooler where the compressor goes. But I can say I've camped a few nights now cumulative with that cooler literally like 8 inches from my head, almost totally silent. Mm-hmm. And it did an amazing job of keeping everything cool. So now instead of filling the cooler with ice, we actually find that we can fit more stuff
without the ice
that's in the
other,
this cooler.
That's the other problem, is not only the big coolers have extra wide or thick walls of insulation, you then have to put ice in it to keep things cold. So you take up, you know, 30% of the room with ice. That's why you need a really big one. And those are freaking
super heavy. And then you don't even have to pack ice, because then the cooler is just working.
Okay, but let's get to how you power the cooler.
It's got a 12 volt outlet.
Yeah.
Or you can use one of these like Anchor or whatever. Battery, I think, pack. Ego, I forgot what it is, but these like little mini picnic table generators that just run off of you can use a battery booster if you want. It's 1.5 amps at 12 volts. So that you can run that for quite a long time on just a little battery pack.
Okay. Otherwise you need solar.
It also has a solar connection for like, you just do so four solar panels together through a small battery charger or another one of these little battery packs.
Yep.
And it'll run. I mean,
were you running that at Laguna Seca when we went camping?
Yeah. I was running that whole setup at Laguna Seca off the solar, but then at the Quail, remember I had all the drinks in the refrigerator. You
were bribing the judges.
And that was running off of the 100 amp hour deep cycle battery from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m., keeping the drinks cold. And the deep cycle battery had like minimal loss in voltage. So I think right now, like the money no object solution is to spend $800 or $1,200 or whatever it costs on these electric refrigerator coolers.
Yep.
And you kind of like simplify a lot doing it that way.
I think you're right. And if I camped more often or for longer trips, I would probably want to do that. And in fact, like as I look at buying a truck and doing some more quote unquote extreme camping, that might be an option, like integrating a solar panel and an inverter and all that stuff. But for now, I feel like lowest failure potential is best for what we do. I mean, I don't have to ever think about having it be plugged in or working. It's just a box that keeps things cold, you know. It's like simple. And also in the van, again, we take one of the seats out. We have rear facing seats, and it acts as a bench and a place to like sit, and you know, you can put your shoes on in there or whatever. Like it's a nice setup for what we use. But that same cooler in a Tundra, like I'd have to have a sliding, you know, drawer thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to take up, you know, a lot of space. So
and that electric cooler is, I think, the same weight, maybe even slightly lighter than my Yeti the big.
Oh, I bet.
Yeti cooler
My Grizzly is heavy. And then you put ice and stuff in it.
Yeah.
It's like, I can barely get it into the van, you know? So I put it in first and then load it. I don't like load it in the garage and try to get it into the van because it's too heavy. That's another reason you don't take it out of the van.
Moving on to bedding and sleeping.
I need a way in. I don't own a cooler.
Oh yeah, Lane. Lane doesn't own it. He's too cool to own a cooler.
He just goes to restaurants. He's like, can I camp close to Starbucks? That's your
Yeah, exactly. What was it? A 2.5-star hotel is like camping for Lane?
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, so are we getting into bedding?
Bedding's
unique for me because, and maybe for you now that you have a real camper, but our van has a folding bed that turns into a queen size. Technically it's tight, but a queen size bed. And then we have a unique SUV tent that goes on the back of the hatch.
Like an Aztec,
Pontiac Aztec.
Rad.
It's made by
such an iconic design.
It's made by Ridgeline, I believe. Ridgeway?
I
don't think it's Ridgeline. I think it's Ridgeway or something. But anyways,
Ridge Avenue.
SUV tent is what they call it. You can get it on Amazon. It's about $350. It's huge. So we have a like oversized duffel bag that we put it in, but it goes over the entire back of the van, and then it's a 7-foot tall tent that my son sleeps in on a cot, and then we have like our bags and
so you guys
stuff.
Are like cozy in the van.
So we're basically all in one room. We just happen to have two beds.
It makes the room bigger, right?
Yeah, that's right. We can get out that way and like get dressed.
And you can stand up, right? Because it's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, perfectly,
it's
nice. Yeah. It's not perfect, the design. I mean, it's the best one on the market, but I could improve it in a number of different ways. But it works pretty well. We've used it for 3 years now, something like that. And it's been really good for us. But I think it's meant for more traditional SUVs, a little lower. The Vanagon's a unique.
But as far as sleeping goes, like, are you the type that like bring your pillow,
we have full sheets, comforter.
And pillows. Lane is like all about the sleeping bags, right?
No.
Why not?
I hate sleeping bags.
He doesn't know what he likes.
No, I bring comforters from home.
Yeah.
Multiple comforters. Even if I'm by myself, I'm bringing like two or three comforters. And I'm bringing the thickest pillows I own, like the dense ones. Because I feel like when you're not in a bed where you kind of like a bed, you really compress into the bed and you get all cozy. You need like a bigger pillow when you're on a harder surface.
Yeah, totally.
So like I'm anytime I'm camping, it's tent camping. Side sleeper style.
I'm a side sleeper.
And I'll have I got this 3-tiered foam, like memory foam fold up thing. That actually is pretty comfortable.
Yeah, those are nice.
But I like to have like a couple pillows and just like get this whole cozy zone on, basically.
That's rad.
And I hate, sleeping bags are fine. They do what they work, you know, they serve a purpose, but
I'm just going
to
say
in most instances, they're like, they're annoying to get out of, annoying to get into. I'd rather just have blankets I can pull over.
If you can sleep in a sleeping bag on one of those like REI, like roll up little 1-inch mattresses, you're not a human being.
That's what you do for non-car camping. That's why I always preface this with like, we were talking about
backpack camping is different.
Backpacking is a totally different thing, or just camping light. Like if you were in your sports car or a motorcycle, like you can't bring a folding three
and comforters.
Trifold. Yeah.
If you give me a Morgan Arrow, the first thing I'm putting in the passenger seat is an air mattress.
Okay. So we went, we have a queen size mattress that the seats fold down. And then we put a memory foam, like a 3-inch memory foam topper. But here's the thing is like memory foam is great, but when it's cold, it's very stiff and you get into bed at the end of the night. And that is a stiff mattress to try to like get to absorb. So then I added that compression foam, the one that looks spiky.
Yep.
We added just another one of those so that you have the softness of that. And then the memory foam warms up and you really sink into it. So we're super plush. Like our situation's nice. It's got curtains and it's a very comfortable place. I sleep very well camping. It's really nice. Other than my son waking up at daybreak to be like, let's go play. Let's go start the fire. I'm like,
yeah,
please, dear God.
I'm one of those guys that like wakes up at like 5 or 6 in the morning, like usually 6 in the morning, super cozy, ready to like be cozy and warm. But then like 10 minutes or not even that, 3 minutes later, thinking to myself, like, I want to go start a fire. I want to get out. Yeah. Like, I mean, before anybody wakes up.
Yeah, it's just you
and like three other dudes walking around.
I don't want to miss out on those early morning conversations. It's always fun. But anyway, so that's our situation.
Oh, I hate to be the last person up.
That's not good.
It's the worst.
Oh my God. You feel like you missed everything.
Yeah, you're rolling out. Everyone's like having a killer time, like making food.
The other rad move though is when everybody like at like 10 o'clock is like, man, I feel great. Let's go on a hike. And you've been up for 4 hours, like starting the fire, starting breakfast. Everybody's ready to get going. And you're like, I think I'm going to take a nap, guys.
Yeah.
So the other thing we should talk about is comfort around a fire. What are you using to sit down? Is there any thoughts put into this? Because I've thought about this a lot. I'm kind of a camping chair.
I've never owned a camping chair.
Oh my God. I own like 7.
I've bogarted. I've stolen camping or I've used camping chairs, made them my own. But yeah, I've never owned one.
I've got beach chairs, camping chairs. I've got all of the above.
I will say I went Ali was camping in the Airstream the other day, and it came with these Tommy Bahama chairs or whatever.
They're pretty rad, dude.
I don't know who makes them, but they were really comfortable. I mean, that's a good way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta, like, when I go to like Ace Hardware or something, hardware store aficionado here. When I go to Ace Hardware, they usually have like all the chairs laid out. Or if you go to Camping World, I finally went to one a while ago. They have all these chairs all over the place, and you can get to, you know, sit in them, try them out. So I've tried a bunch. The Tommy Bahama chairs are one of the most comfortable, like big cushy chairs.
They're good, and they feel like really robust.
Yeah,
like they feel like they're made for someone that's like 500 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. They're definitely made for people bigger than me. Yeah, and I'm big.
Yeah.
San Martin near Gilroy, there's a Camping World.
Oh, damn.
Morgan Hill, we should go.
Yeah, we should
field
go.
Trip.
Field trip.
Yeah, I'm camping, down. Camping, I'm
we'll get, trip. We'll load up the Airstream in the F-250 and we'll go there.
Or just camp out.
We'll do a, we'll record our next podcast from there. Why don't we just record our next podcast?
That's a great idea.
I'm down.
Dude, I'm so down.
You drive it down there, we'll meet you.
Yeah.
No, I'll come pick you guys up. You guys can sit in the back of the trailer, all illegal stuff. God.
I do love a good Ace Hardware, but also, like, those camping stores are like Outdoor World, even as a kid, was like a fun place to go.
Totally. Yeah, dude. Totally. Yeah.
So,
Bass Pro Shops, like,
those are amazing.
I will say that the umbrella style stroller that opens up as like the traditional cheap camping chair that has opens, you know, in four directions, are terrible because you're constantly battling the V and your
armrest keeps slipping down.
Armrest slips down. They're terrible. So I'm completely out on that. And I think everyone should just toss those away and not even ever go with that. But there's a company called Woods of Canada, and they make great designed, affordable camping gear. And I bought these two chairs from them that are awesome. They're adjustable, a little bit adjustable with a headrest. And they're flat bottom, you know, like the bottom cushion is
they don't
flat.
Sink in.
There's no
crazy.
V.
You know, the bars.
No, yeah. Now they're big. These are big packed chairs. Like, you're not going to take these again, like sports car camping or whatever. This is,
they fit the 944.
They could fit in the 944, but they're definitely fitting in the van. And if you want, like, you're doing most of your stuff, like 50% of the time you're sitting in these chairs. So make sure they're comfortable.
Camping is all about sitting, right?
So I got to say, there's one chair that I've had like throughout the, I think just getting in to looking at a normal chair and just sitting down on the campfire, the Tommy Bahama chairs are rad.
Yeah.
But if you want a chair that it kind of looks weird, but anybody, I have never had anybody sit in it and not say this is the most comfortable chair I've ever sat in. It's made by Neo, I think. They sell them at REI. Nemo, N-E-M-O, and it's called the Nemo Stargaze. It's a hammock chair.
This is the ones with the, has a whole frame, and then they just hang the
chair. You sat in it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It's a little tight to get in and out of, though.
It is a little bit tricky to get in and out of, but when you sit in it and you're hanging there next to the campfire swinging, it's super rad, and it packs really small. It packs like the size of like a, you know, elongated shoebox or something.
That's nice.
But yeah, I was going to say, I think part of a good camping chair, I think there's a few qualities they need to have, right? They need to be easy to get, like, sit down and new. They need to be comfortable, obviously. They need to have a place to put a beer.
Exactly.
And then they need to be easy to get out of when you're six beers deep.
Yeah.
And that is, and a lot of these chairs are really hard to get out of.
Where the Tommy Bahama chairs excel.
Yes, for sure.
Well, these Woods of Canada chairs, I will...
I cannot wait to look at them.
Yeah, I think you would like them a lot.
And shout out to LaFuma, too.
Oh, LaFuma's top notch, but these are a third of the price of a LaFuma. And if you want to go like that zero gravity style where you can go flat, that's a whole different thing. And those are big too. Like, when you fold those down, that's a big
thing. But that's a kind of a complicated apparatus to have next to the campfire. Right?
It is. And they potentially can burn because it's all netting. It's like a mesh.
Yeah.
I also enjoy just sitting on like a log or something.
If the campfire is warm and you're, you know,
you don't need much.
You don't need that much.
Yeah. But just to get rid of those V, what are we calling them? Just the cheap camping chairs.
Remember those ones? Yeah. I don't know if they're
truss, like it's the a truss style.
Yeah. Remember the try ones that are just like a little stool?
That's for like backpacking.
Okay. But people would bring those camping a lot, I remember.
Or you can use those as footrests, which is kind of a rad move. But yeah.
But as a chair, you're like, can I just go sit on anything else?
But see, that's what people did, is they were like, I want to just have the smallest thing. And then they still bring it car camping and you're like, well, this doesn't work.
Yeah. It's not for this.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, especially a place where we have a picnic bench right here. Yeah. That's like a picnic bench is a way better solution than that. You know?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. That's no good. There's more to get into. There's kitchen stuff and there's,
well, what about, you know, accessories like games.
Oh yeah. You talked about music. So
music, I'm lights, like music. Let's talk about that for a second.
I'm out on music a lot of times, unless it's like a busy time, like you're making dinner.
Wait,
or
you're out on music.
I just feel like I'm going camping to be kind of more chill. And sometimes people just like,
you don't want to put your Jack Johnson CD on and just talk about the bubbly toes.
It has a time and a place, but I think that's, you know, here and there. But the people who are like basically have music going all day long, I'm like, come on.
While we're walking around like Pfeiffer or whatever, and it would just, you walk around, every single one is playing Jack Johnson. Every single one.
Well, that was a question.
We never even thought about the music that was playing at that campground we walked around.
No.
So
I didn't hear a lot, actually. I don't think.
My deal, yeah. So
there was a lot of people watching football.
I definitely despise like loud music and like somebody like watching foot, like that. The most annoying thing was like hearing people screaming. Yeah.
But
like,
see, I don't mind that at a KOA because it's like, so
yeah,
I guess already, you're in town and like,
but like, I'm thinking like, you know, ice house status or like you're in the middle, like in a real campground, like a traditional, like real campground.
Yeah.
I think, in the mornings and stuff, definitely like I like silence, but as the campground starts to get louder and like there's just all this background noise and other random kids screaming and stuff, then I'll put some like, you know, classic rock on in the background, just
it
low level.
It can be a really nice vibe, you know?
Yeah, totally.
You start opening the beers and put the music on. And
I guess I like breaks from it. I like totally just having chill, like quiet, natural, whatever.
If and the I'd campground also, is quiet, then I don't want music. I want it to be quiet.
And I'm also really sensitive to impeding on other people's good time. And usually it's hard to play music without like,
you're just not confident in your music selection.
No, I'm very confident, but I also know that people have weird tastes. So I don't want to be ruining someone else's time.
Everybody likes Jack Johnson.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm not big on music. We do have a JBL, you know, cordless speaker or whatever, rechargeable speaker. And it's fine.
What kind of games do you like to play? Either at the picnic table? Like I find that we end up spending like part of the night at the picnic table away from the campfire playing games.
Totally. Like, I mean, traditionally the trips that we go on, it wasn't a lot of like little kid stuff. I mean, now that we have kids, it's changed, but back in the day it was playing card games, you know, drinking games.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that.
Aside from the drinking games, we still like, I mean, the games that we play, we like to wait until the kids go to bed.
Yeah.
And so, one of my best camping trips, I remember we used to play this, we would play bocce ball, but it would be like, it's not like bocce ball where you're just like, and what us, a place you have someone throw the ball. It's like more like extreme bocce ball. So you're going all throughout all these campsites. So you like throw it down a mountain.
Yeah.
And then you know, you don't play.
That's kind of like what we did at Laguna Seca.
But you guys were back and forth
because we didn't have anywhere else to go.
But I mean, we're like talking. Yeah. I'm talking about like throwing it down.
Yeah.
By like where we were watching the race, if you threw it down that hill,
totally.
And then we would, you know, someone else would just toss it as far as they could somewhere else.
We did that the first year at Laguna Seca. Sarah and I brought that glow in the dark set, and we were doing.
Yeah,
that.
So glow in the dark's fun. I mean, we used to do that at Nacio Meno.
Or actually, it's lit up.
We used to stay at this point on Nacio Meno. It was like the best camping site there. I don't know if you've ever stayed there, Warren, but there's this point, and you could stay at the very tip of it and it's really cool and the water's right there and everything, and we would play it all around there and just like,
it's great,
you know, and the light up kits are sick.
So super fun. Yeah, so games are great.
Did you play any like gnarly, like as a adolescent boy going camping, did you take like, I remember I would take
things out of people's coolers?
No, like I would take like throwing stars with me, or I would take like a knife to like,
oh, always do, like carving sticks.
Yeah, carving stuff and like throwing, like figuring out how to throw a knife against a tree.
Oh yeah, we would always do that, like get our buck knives, throw them against trees, get them to go perfect. One thing that was fun, kind of dangerous, could start a forest fire,
all of it,
but
is
you bring
dangerous
magnifying glasses and you like,
oh yeah,
you basically burn into wood, like write your name into wood, like that would be a whole day.
Go blind, just start like a fire,
writing our name in or whatever, drawing with a magnifying glass essentially.
Yeah, we don't recommend doing any of this in California. Fun. But yeah.
when I was growing up, gathering wood was like a normal thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like one of the funnest things. Like we would get to a campsite and my dad, as soon as we've unloaded the last thing, my dad would say, okay, you can go. And I would just go for like 2 hours gathering wood, just coming back. And we had a big old pile of wood. It was the best.
And you always, before you go camping, when I was a kid, we would always get wrist rockets or slingshots.
Yeah,
like Outdoor World or something like that. So you'd have, that's like hours of entertainment right there.
When we had a ceramics class in like sixth grade or junior high or something like that, and I made
a bunch of pellets.
And we didn't go all the, there's like, you know, there's two stages of the fire, the in the kiln or whatever. I would always do the first stage, and the little pellets would shatter against the trees. It was rad.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that was fun. I don't think you can't gather firewood anymore, right?
It depends where you go. Yeah, there's a lot of,
I mean, I remember we never took any firewood to any campsite. My dad would bring a chainsaw and I would get the axe.
Yeah. I mean, like in national parks and stuff, they definitely don't want you to,
but if you're like,
yeah, there's a bunch of fire roads and stuff that we go to a spot and then someone with a truck will drive off in the afternoon and then go get a bunch of wood and come back and like disperse it.
Or if you're out on like Cherry Lake or on that island or something, you're just kind of like,
go for it.
You're on an island anyways. You have to take a boat out there.
Yeah, so exactly.
You're kind of like scavenging. It's
kind of like island boys.
Yeah, you're an island boy.
Something like that. Yeah, so then there's, you know, kitchen stuff and all the other gear like clothing and stuff.
How do you guys do your coffee?
That.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
So we grind it ahead of time and then put it in a jar. You know, grounds.
Mellow grounds.
And then we do pour over, but we use a jet boil, which has been a big...
What's a jet boil?
Jet boil uses a proprietary gas and little stove, and then it's a insulated cup that goes on top of that with a lid.
But it's propane?
It's a type of propane. Uh-huh. And it heats up like boiling water in like, I don't know, 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Rather than doing like a pot of water over a stove that takes forever and it's inefficient, this is like... It has this kind of finned part that goes on the bottom of the cup that like concentrates the heat, and then it's insulated like neoprene. So you can grab it and pour it pretty easily. And it's great for like ramen, soup, stuff like that, dehydrated food. But yeah, jet boil is where it's at. I mean, that the gas lasts forever and we use it every single morning for coffee, pour over style. And we use like,
what do you use for a pour over? Like, do you use a
little plastic
French press or what do you do?
Just that plastic thing that goes over the mug with the.
Oh, filter. Okay. Oh, like a traditional. Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Simple. Yeah. Huh. How about you, Ollie? You probably have some like espresso machine that.
In the Airstream, we have like a Nespresso Breville pod machine, which is pretty rad.
It's like, by the way, it's like the $1,000 one.
So
like the full metal one.
Yeah.
Normally when I'm camping, like on the open fire, I use one of those, the little Italian espresso kettles or just a standard like pour over setup to make a big pot of coffee.
Yeah. My friend's dad uses one of those percolators, like old fashioned.
Oh yeah. Those are rad.
And it works pretty well. I mean, he puts good coffee in it and it just basically just bubbles water through it all for, you know, 20 minutes or whatever. And then have a bunch of coffee, but he's usually making coffee for, you know, 12 people or something.
Yeah. I like to, when I wake up, so the camping routine for food is wake up early in the morning, usually before anybody else, immediately start a fire and then get the coffee stuff ready. And then usually I'll make one pot at a time or like one cup at a time, like a small pot to make like two cups. The jet boil is like perfect for that too. But yeah, I think, there's a bunch of different ways of doing it, right?
Yeah, people get fancy, and that's a big coffee's like a ritual thing too for some people that they just want that method.
Well, it's even, I think camping coffee is like even that much better, right? It's one of those things, like just waking up and having that crisp, clean air,
and just being able to tell the second person that woke up coffee's ready.
Yeah,
like, that's like the best feeling ever.
Yeah, yeah, there's something even romantic like about it,
like your 5-year-old daughter.
Yeah, I definitely coffee's ready. You can't have that.
All right, I think that's enough for now. You got anything else on your list?
Not really.
Okay, save it for next time. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.